Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to be here. We're going to do what we always do on Wednesday night. But of course, we have to start with a prayer. So I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for the promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in thy name, there art thou in the midst of them. And I pray, Lord, that thou would truly be with us here tonight. I pray, O God, that we would feel thy presence. I pray that thou would pour out thy spirit upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Inspire us, O God, as we sing unto thee. Inspire us to truly worship thee from the heart. Inspire us to give thee our hearts, Lord. I pray, O God, that thou would preside over this entire service. I pray that everything we do here tonight will be done according to thy perfect will. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 115 in the chorus book tonight. I will enter his gates, number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 42 and sing, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul," number 42.
Salvation so rich and free. to me. Thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
God. Let's go to number 141. Number 141 and sing Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Number 141. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you, I love you, adore you, I bow down you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Praise the
Lord. God,
praise the Lord. Oh yes, he has done so much for us, and you know, he gives us a purpose, a reason to live. Let's go to number 98 and sing Because He Lives. Number 98.
Because he I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future.
So good to us, and I am so thankful that we have an answering God that we can cry out to, knowing full well that He hears us when we call on Him. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 95. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Number 95. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an Hallelujah, He's an answering God. praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, sometimes we'll be praying and we may not get an answer to that prayer instantly. Sometimes we have to wait for an answer, but we always do get an answer, don't we? For He is an answering God. Let's go to number 48. Number 48 and sing, "They That Wait Upon the Lord." Number 48.
"They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord." Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to
the Lord. Glory to God. We do serve an awesome, a wonderful God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And we have the victory over sin, over death, over this world, victory over hell through the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, in His name we have the victory. So why don't we go to number 77 and sing "In the Name of Jesus," number 77.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we serve a God who can do anything. A God who's never stuck. Let's go to number 89 and sing, God can do anything. Anything. Anything but fail. Number 89. God can do anything. 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 God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, 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 God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of ten. Into my soul, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything. Anything, anything, God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wow, time goes by so quickly, doesn't it? I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy goodness towards us. We thank thee for thy mercy towards us, for we know, O God, that we would be lost, completely helpless, floundering around without thy help. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to sustain us, continue to lead us, continue to direct our paths. Give us wisdom, we pray, on how these funds should be used for thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, Lord, that thou would just continue to lead, guide, direct us in everything we do. And I ask, O God, that thou would bless the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to sing one more chorus before we get started in the Word. And you know, there's a chorus that's just been on my mind, and I feel like singing it. There's a wonderful day coming when we see our Savior face to face and we dwell in His presence forever. And what a day that will be. So why don't we go to number 131 and sing, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see." Number 131. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. Glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a day that will be. We have so much to look forward to. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, we're going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has given her tonight. Praise God. Just needs a moment. Praise God. Glory to God. I am so thankful for His goodness. Praise the Lord.
I'd just like to thank Him again, too.
Oh, praise the Lord. And for those who are listening online, Diane was just talking about her good report from the doctor. We prayed for her on Sunday regarding her eyes, and they seem to be getting better, so we're very thankful for that. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure Shirley will be back momentarily. Glory to God. Oh, yeah, sure, we can pray for Barb. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Barb, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven and touch her, Lord. Whatever it is that's bothering her, whatever it is that's making her feel unwell, we pray, O God, that thou hast helped her, that thou hast healed her, let her feel thy touch, let her feel thy presence. For we know, O God, that thou art our wonder-working God, our healer, our deliverer, our almighty Savior. And we just pray that thou hast be with Barb here tonight. Let her recover quickly, restore her health, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful for those wonderful, positive songs that we can sing to the Lord. It's beautiful just to have that hope that we have in our earthen vessels, and to know that we have a God that regardless of what happens tomorrow, that he's going to be with his people, that his promises are yea and amen. He's God, and he's not going to fail. He's not going to forsake us when we need him the most. And just really glad for those good reports. I know I was talking to Sister Vicki today, and she had a good report on the outcome of the test that she had. And Diane had a good report today. And I just think that's beautiful, because we do have a prayer answering God. And you know, I know it was, oh boy, I don't know if it was a week ago or so, I remember Jane telling me that she was having back issues and really uncomfortable, and you know, we prayed for her, and you know, praise the Lord, you know, she told me a day or two later that I'm fine. And I just think it's so beautiful that we can put our faith, our trust, and hope in the Lord. And if it's time to seek the Lord, if it's ever been time to seek the Lord, it's now. It's right now. The time is at the door. And this is what we're going to call this message with the Lord's help here tonight. Time to seek the Lord. But before we go forth, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to be with us. We surely do need him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for your many blessings. Oh, God, your goodness to us. Oh, Lord, your great mercies. Oh, God, as undeserving as we are, and oh, God, as pathetic as we are so often, God. Oh, Lord, but yet thou hast great mercy on us, Lord. Thou, oh, God, knows how to hold us up, how to give us faith. Oh, God, how to make us stand and how to give us hope, oh, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd minister to our hearts tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd bind the strong man in any interference, oh Lord, any hindrances, oh God, anything, oh Lord, that, oh God, would cause us any disturbance, Lord. For you know how to help us, Lord. And we ask, oh Lord, for thy mighty help, oh Lord. We just thank you, oh Lord, that we can cry out to you, that we know your name, Lord. Oh God, that we know your word. And oh God, and we have understanding, Lord, for so many walk without understanding, without real knowledge, and oh God, just fooling themselves in so many cases, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us, oh Lord, to come alive.
Oh, God, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts, oh, Lord. I pray that you'd help those struggling ones, oh, God, who yet need to turn their hearts and lives over to you, Lord. I pray that you'd minister to them tonight, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you take us all to that higher ground. Oh, Lord, that higher ground, that greater place of faith, oh, Lord, where you are, God. That, oh, God, that place where we can see those signs and wonders that follow the believers, oh, Lord, God. Oh, Lord, we can, oh, Lord, have our hearts in such a place, oh Lord, that, oh God, we're in harmony with you, Lord. Oh God, we can know you, Lord. Oh God, we can walk with you, Lord. God, I pray that you'd move tonight. I pray that you would, oh God, minister to the needs of your people, Lord. I pray that you would, oh God, put faith in our hearts, oh God, hope in our hearts. Oh God, take away the unbelief, and oh God, help us to see the things, oh God, that prevent us from going to that higher ground. We love you, Lord Jesus. We need you, God. We call upon you now, asking you to be here, oh Lord. Help us, asking you to give us words. Oh God, give us a mind after thee, and oh Lord, that authority in thee that we need in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Oh Lord, the devil have no place in Jesus' name. Oh God, let it be cast out, oh Lord, in every work of darkness, in the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. Time to seek the Lord. Oh my. Yes, it is. And we're going to begin by going to Hosea, the 10th chapter here tonight. Thank you everybody for your prayers. I know you online are praying people too. And I just am really thankful. You know, it's wonderful that we could go to the Almighty One. We just really have such a privilege. You know, we could just have to get it. You know, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I mean, he's the Creator. He knows everything, you know. And, you know, there's nothing too hard for him. And it's just such a wonderful thing that we could go directly to him. You know, we don't have to seek another. You know, Mary doesn't have the answers. She's just one of the saints that went on before, just as the others that die in the Lord are. And, you know, she doesn't have any special, you know, insights or abilities that people sometimes give her as an intercessor. But thank God we can go right to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can go to Jesus. And we have authority in him and privileges in him and hope in him. And, you know, what could we give in exchange for that? Oh, we are blessed. Praise the Lord. But here it is. We're down in time. We're late in time. It's getting, you know, to places where we know not. Not that we ever knew what tomorrow would hold, but, you know, surely as we see these things in front of us, oh my, we know that above all else, we need the Lord. We're going to need to know him. We're going to need to know his voice. We're going to know how, we must know how to follow him, you know, because who knows? In these moments of time, what could happen? But yet he is the good shepherd, and he's, you know, he knows how to direct us, he knows how to lead us, and we can just follow him. We can just, you know, not be like that wayward sheep that, you know, starts wandering away, or, you know, starts to go off the cliff and, you know, doesn't follow the shepherd, you know, has a mind of its own and starts to be disobedient. Lord forbid that we would be that way. But if we could just stay close to God and mind him, you know, listen to him, you know, and let him direct our paths, you know, making him the center of our life, the focus of our life, the Savior, the one that we surrender our will, our emotions, our desires to the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. But let's go now to the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just this, well, we may read another verse too. But it reads, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And then it says in verse 13, ye have plowed wickedness You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. And surely we know, oh my, God is not mocked. You know, in Galatians, the sixth chapter, it tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It talks about he that reaps to the flesh is going to reap corruption, and he that reapeth to the Spirit is going to reap life everlasting. And it's just that simple. You know, you're either reaping to the flesh or you're reaping to the Spirit. And the thing is, God isn't mocked. You know, you can't be a pretender in front of him and you know, try to make it your own way. And certainly, I think this verse here in Hosea is very descriptive of these times that we live in right now. It's telling us to it's time to break up that fallow ground. And fallow ground is ground that's been plowed, but it's just left unplanted. And I just wonder often how many times, you know, the Lord begins a work in his people. And it's, you know, it's been broken up. But yet, there's nothing that's been planted in it. But here is that admonishment to break that fallow ground up. Because it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And then that 13th verse is, I think, so descriptive of these times. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. That seems to be the way of human life. So often that people want to just trust in their own way. They don't want to listen, often even to good advice. But so often people do not want to heed the word of God. And they put their trust in the multitude of mighty men. You know, just believing that everybody can't be wrong. And, you know, if you know they're in power and, you know, they're there as examples why, you know, why would we go another way? You know, why would we follow them? But that's where a lot of people's trust is. And, wow, how about eating the fruit of lies? Oh, my. I know Sam wrote in one of his newsletters not too long ago about how frequently these politicians lie. And, you know, it's they just say things so we know so often just to, you know, appeal to their audience. And that's the way it is. Some people lie as easily as they think. You know, they might not even know anymore what's truth and what's false, because that's just a part of their makeup. You know, they make up a lie to, you know, suit the occasion or to make themselves look good or whatever their cause is. And we've been given a lot of lies. Oh, yes, as a people, as a nation, there's so much that's not truth. And so many have plowed wickedness, you know, and therefore reaped iniquity. It's really sad at these times because I think we live in that time period when, you know, people call evil good and good evil. You know, they put darkness for light and light for darkness and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, as it talks of in Isaiah the fifth chapter. And that just seems to be just, you know, the way that it is right now. And so many, oh my, don't even know. I believe we're in that time period where there are many seared consciences, where people no longer know what's right and what's wrong. You can see the confusion in the faces. I had the opportunity just a few days ago to talk to my neighbor man, and you know, I just really hadn't had opportunity to really talk to him, but in a spiritual sense, previously, and it just so happened that I had that moment, and you could just tell that, you know, when you start talking about spiritual things that, you know, they really don't know, you know, it's kind of like you're leaving them behind, and, you know, where to begin is often a question, because, you know, people are so confused. They think that, you know, they're just good old Joes, and, you know, everybody's doing it, you know, it's, you know, just common to, you know, watch the Packer game and, you know, drink down a six-pack, you know, during the process or whatever all, you know, to tell bad jokes and have people laugh at them, you know, to cuss, to swear, to take the Lord's name in vain. People have begun to think of these things as norms. And yeah, there's so many other things that are winked at, you know, people living together before they're married and, you know, doing all kinds of abominable deeds. But there is a God in heaven who sees it all. And I think maybe we will just quickly go to Isaiah, that fifth chapter, a minute, because it does say some tremendous things there. And looking at Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know, that lack of humility and thinking, oh, everything they do is just perfect. But woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Verse 22 says, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You know, I don't think people really get it, you know. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, that tells us in Proverbs, the 20th chapter. And, you know, they that do so, you know, are deceived thereby, are not wise, the scripture tells us. And there's a lot of deception in that. A lot of people think that one little drink isn't going to hurt them. It's just common thoughts these days. But, you know, often one drink leads to many more. And you know, often have many accidents and things on the road. I hear sirens all the time. Could it be because, you know, maybe that individual had one too many, or maybe they're on drugs or whatever all? But woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You know, it's not a great sign of manhood to be able to drink down, you know, strong drink, you know, all mixed together. It's, you know, it's a foolish way of thinking that many have, you know, to think that makes their manhood or something, you know, to be able to, you know, drink it down. But you know, it might well kill. You know, it eventually it does. And it's not wise. It says, woe unto them. And then verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from them. You know, that's pathetic too. Just, you know, the mistreatment of people and you know, justifying that which is wrong for reward. You're taking advantage of people in cruel, mean ways, and you know, for their own benefit, their own reward. And then that person that's decent and good, making them sound like a villain or something. You know, that's pretty pathetic. But there is a God in heaven who sees it all, and he is the righteous judge. And oh yes, everything is going to be made right one of these days. And then it says in verse 24 in this chapter, therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. Oh, this is how God sees it. And their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Oh, that is not good. But how many people take the Word of God seriously these days? I don't think too many people do. I think instead they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Oh yes, if you're not living according to it, you know, if you're trying to make a mockery of it, you're despising it. And there's many people that live in that light, that darkness in reality. And therefore it tells us in verse 25, is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. And he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And that hand that's been being discussed here is a hand of judgment. The Lord seeing it all, his anger being kindled. And I don't think we want to fall into the hands of an angry God. I don't think so. Oh, people have not seen anything like that. This point when God is angry, he stretches forth his hand against them, and then they're smitten. Oh, yes, the hills did tremble. The carcasses were torn in the midst of the street. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Oh, I think we better try to appease the Holy One of Israel. I think we better try to appease him by getting right with him, by bending the knee to him, by surrendering ourselves, our will, our emotions to God. I think we better find that place in him. Oh yes, where we find peace, and he's not going to come out against us in anger and in vengeance. But praise the Lord. The Lord has a way that people can reconcile their evil, wicked ways with him. We go to Joel, the second chapter. We can read how we can get right with the Almighty One. There certainly are those times when we need to search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. And here it's telling us, if we go to Joel, the second chapter, and I'm going to go to the 12th verse here and begin reading, and it says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. There's no pretense here at all. It's a complete turning to the Lord with all of one's heart, and by bringing one's forth self with fasting and with weeping, with mourning, with deep sorrow for the sins in one's life, great sorrow for the things that have gone wrong, and in all the confusion, all the strife, all the bitterness, all the results of sin, but here a turning to God, even with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. And verse 13 says, and rend your heart, and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And here we see, you know, in times of old, it was customary to rend your garment, if you know, to show great distress or sorrow. And it would be done, you know, to emphasize that point. But with God, there's something that needs to be rent to make peace with him, and that's the heart. That heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Yes, that heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? But there is a God that in heaven that searches the heart and tries the rein. Oh yes, he knows what's deep down inside in each and every individual's. But here it tells us the need to rend the heart. Oh, yes, to bring it all to the Lord, to, you know, confess the things that are not right, to turn everything over to God, to make haste to do so, and turning unto the Lord. And then it names some of his precious characteristics, God being gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. He has, you know, even God turning, when a heart turns, God willing to forgive and to forget, to bury those transgressions. But what wonderful mercy he shows us, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And it tells us here in verse 14, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Yeah, who knows if, you know, a nation will turn from their evil ways, if a people will turn from their iniquity. Oh, there's a great hope that God will have great mercy and things will be made right. And so it was here in Israel, that need to come to the Lord with all the heart and to rend the heart in obedience and repentance and turning away from the evil and the past and the things that hindered. And so they were told to blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breath. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Oh, the stopping of normal activity in order to get right with God. The calling of the people together in an assembly. And all the people, it included everyone, the congregation, the elders, the children, the infants, and all of those, and just, you know, stopping normality, the bridegroom, let her not go, or the bridegroom, let him not go out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet, just stop, because it's time to seek the Lord, it's time to get the heart right with the Lord. It tells us in verse 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Oh yeah, should they be making a mockery out of the people that profess that they're Christians? But I'll tell you, they're not really Christians. Oh boy, God sees through that. But there's that cry that comes forth. Oh yes, the ministers of God, the priests, God's people, pouring out their hearts, weeping between the porch and the altar and crying out with all the heart, asking God to spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach. Oh, I think here in this land of America, we are in great distress. We are in trouble. Oh, we know good and well some of the things that have happened. Oh, we know that matter of several years ago that we were given as collateral to China in exchange for a debt. Oh, we know that happened. I believe it was a work of treachery, but so it happened. We know that at this point in time, we have cities with mosques in them. I know I talked with a dear woman who reads the newsletter and is close to this ministry. And she's in Philadelphia, and where she lives, it's not far from a mosque. And she sees them walking down the street with their headgear and, you know, the other things that are noted among them, and they want Sharia law You know, they're angry because the police officers will not back them up with Sharia law. And I'll tell you what, this is a land of America, and Sharia law has no part here, but, you know, there are Muslims that are trying to take over, and it's not just in Philadelphia, but, oh, there's other cities, Dearborn, Michigan, and other places that, oh, God knows that they're trying to take over. We know that there's bridges, there's national forests, national parks, and other places that have been sold to foreigners. Oh, institutions. Oh, yes. Places of business that have been given over. And here we are. Oh, we don't know who's all amongst us, do we? We don't know who's crept over the borders or, you know, come across the seas and you know, concealed ships and all and all. And so it is. Here we are. We're in trouble. God knows. And it's time for the people of the Lord to cry out, beseeching God. Oh, yes, with all the heart, that he would spare his people and that he would not give his heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Oh, we are in distress. Yes, we have people, oh, that are in rulership right now in this land that have not given their hearts to the Lord. And here in Joel, the second chapter, in fact, those people are enemies of the Lord, I would dare say. But praise the Lord, there is a response here in this second chapter of Joel. Verse 18, it says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. God hears those cries. He knows when the heart is really rent and there's a true cry of repentance coming forth. When it's, you know, not just for show or pretense, but there's something, you know, that's desperate within that human heart. And there's a cry that goes over, comes out to the Almighty One. And when it's a true cry of repentance, remorse, of sorrow, of, you know, trying to mend one's ways and get right with the Lord, you know, showing sorrow for the things that one has committed that are against the laws of God. God knows and sees that. And it says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Oh, God, making himself known. It's not his, you know, will that the evil should rule and be in control. But if a people of God will cry out and beseech the Lord and turn from their evil, wicked ways, then there is a God in heaven who will hear, and he knows how to drive the enemy far away. Oh, yes, even toward the hinder part of the utmost sea. And so it's declared in verse 21, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Oh, yes, even the land has sorrow and there's sin. All the things, oh, my, they come upon even the land in man's rebellion and evil ways. And it says, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the trees bear their fruit, the fig tree, the vine do yield their strength. Oh, there's a back to normality when the heart is made right, when there's true repentance and a turning to the Almighty God. Oh, yes. We know that we have a great example of that in the story of Jonah. You turn a few pages beyond, you come to the book of Jonah, and I imagine we're all familiar with that story, but it's quite the story, it's quite the example. It shows God's great willingness to forgive when there is true repentance. And we know that there was a cry that came out from God, that call that came to Jonah, that he should arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, because their wickedness was so great that there was that cry that had come up all to Almighty God with all the sin that was in that place. But of course, we know the story. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go, and instead he tried to flee from God. He tried to flee from the presence of God. And we laugh at that, you know, you can't hide from God, but so he did, you know. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish, got on a boat, or at least he was attempting to go to Tarshish, you know, and got on a boat there at Joppa that was headed that direction, and you know, his whole intention was to run away from God, to get away from the presence of the Lord. But you can't do that. And God sent out a great wind and a great storm, and you know, a tempest like these sailors had not known perhaps ever before. As it says, so that the ship was like to be broken, and those mariners were afraid. And they cried, every man unto their own God. And you know, they cast their wares that were into the ship, into the sea. The tempest must have been raging. The boat was rocking. And you know, it seemed impossible. And even the mariners were afraid, crying out to their own gods. And oh my, trying to do everything they could think of to lighten the boat, that, you know, they might make it to safety. But there was Jonah down in the bottom of the ship, and he was sleeping. Fast asleep there. And so somehow the shipmaster found him and, you know, came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. I mean, they're all afraid, these men who are very well acquainted with the sea and had been out on the sea, I'm sure, time and time again. But here it is, it's such a raging tempest that they don't know what to do. They're in great despair. They've done everything they could do, and there's Jonah sleeping. And then, oh, they decided they would cast lots. Oh, something has caused this. This is not usual. This is way out of the ordinary. And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And then they said, well, you better tell us, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. And, you know, and they asked him questions. What is thy occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? What a people art thou of? You know, what in the world? Who are you anyway? And he confessed, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And then it tells us these men were exceedingly afraid after that. Oh my, now this is really disturbing. And why hast thou done this, they asked. They already knew that he was fleeing from the presence of God. He'd already told them that, but here they were, these men who were well acquainted with the sea. They asked him, what shall we do with thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. And Jonah knew. He knew. He said, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest has come upon you. I tell you what, you just can't run away from God. You know, God is in control. God is going to have his way no matter what evil men and women may try to do. There is a God in heaven who sees it all and knows it all. And we would do well to fear him, to obey him, oh, to listen to him. Oh, yes, and not to hide from him. And of course, they didn't really want to throw him out. But, you know, the harder they rowed, the more in vain it seemed. And finally, I guess there was nothing else to do but to toss him overboard. And you know, they prayed and asked that, you know, that they would, you know, perish because of this man's life. And that innocent blood wouldn't be laid on them. They had that knowledge and that fear. They had more fear than a lot of people do that profess to know the Lord. So they did take up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. And just like that, that sea stopped from its raging. You know, that was the cause. That was the reason for it. And those men, oh, they feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Oh, they knew God was going to get the glory. Yeah. Is it off or something? No, maybe it is. Okay, such things here. Okay, hopefully. Okay. So it was. God did get the glory with all of that. And we know the story. God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And there was Jonah in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. But God used that time to get a hold of Jonah. And there in the fish's belly, he cried out to the Lord. That second chapter of Jonah tells us all about that. And because he cried out to the Lord, oh, God was changing him. God was making him ready to go to the Ninevites. And you know, it's amazing what God has to do sometimes to get us ready. We might not really always understand what's going on in our lives, but you know, could it be that the Lord is getting us ready? He knows what's ahead, and he knows the things that we have to go through in the events that are ahead of us. But he also knows how to prepare us to get us to that place that we need to be with the Lord. And so God was preparing Jonah there in the fish's belly. And it tells us that that fish vomited out Jonah onto dry land. And again, God called to Jonah and told him the second time to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that God would bid him. And you know, this time Jonah was ready. This time he wasn't arguing with God. And he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. It was a big city. It was a huge city. He began to enter into that city a day's journey. And, you know, he began to cry out against the sin. And he began to tell them, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He kept on crying and uttering it. That was his message. But you know, the amazing thing was that the people of Nineveh believed God. They heard him. And I'm sure he probably was all bleached out from, you know, the enzymes and the whale, and who knows what he looked like. And maybe the tale had already been told. It wasn't really a tale. It was the truth. What had happened to him, perhaps the mariners had come back and already told them this story of Jonah. So God had prepared them too, I dare say. And there it was. They believed God. And they proclaimed a fast. And they put on sackcloth. And you know, it was from the greatest of them to the least. And even the king. The news came to the king of Nineveh. And he humbled himself. He arose from that throne. He took off his robe, all those signs of royalty. And he covered himself instead with sackcloth and in ashes. And then he made a proclamation and he published it throughout Nineveh. And he told all of those that neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. And then not only cry unto God, but it tells us in verse 8 here in Jonah 3, Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Oh, yes, these Ninevites were known for their violence, for their evil. But he's commanding the people to repent, to turn to God. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Oh, praise the Lord. God saw their works. They turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. There's our merciful God. But yet, you know, he saw that there were hearts that turned to the Lord, that sought the Lord while he might yet be found. Oh, I'll tell you what. We don't know what's ahead of us here in this land. Oh, my. The sea of life is raging, you know. We're celebrating 100 years of abortion, you know, of Planned Parenthood anyway, and they stand for abortion. That's pretty awful, you know, 7 million babies butchered since it was legalized. And all that confusion, as I was saying earlier, it seems that people don't know what is right and what is wrong anymore. And, you know, they seem to excuse themselves from their filthy jokes and lying, cussing, swearing, tongues, the evil that they do, and, you know, the things that they indulge in, their parties, their games, their festivities, their heathen practices, their allowance of sin in general. And, you know, we see what's happened in this land. It's, you know, it's a lot of witchcraft. There's a lot of people with from other backgrounds that never did fear the living God, that don't know God at all. And there's people with hard hearts. You can see the hardness of hearts so often. And surely if there ever was a time to seek the Lord, to break up that fallow ground, to get right with God, it's got to be right now. I don't know if we could proclaim like Jonah, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I don't know. How much time do we have? Only God knows. But perchance, we serve a merciful God. Perchance, if people will turn from their evil, wicked ways in true repentance and surrendering to God, people will get right with God and fall to the knee, cry out. All people, oh my, at least Church of the Living God, crying out and asking God to spare thy people. And to give us not over to the hands of the wicked. Oh my, to be a true repentance, a true cry, a true searching of the hearts, a true turning over to the Almighty One. You know, God allows certain things to get people to repent, to turn from their evil ways. You know, I recall the story there in Haiti, and of course they've had so many devastating things happened there in that land, but I think it was particularly the hurricane that went through there in January of 2010. And I know it was extremely devastating. I believe 200,000 people approximately were killed in that hurricane. And you know, it had to be just horrendous, the devastation and the lives lost and, you know, people that were severely injured and all of that. But there was something that happened after that. And we talked about it at some point. And I have a nephew who actually made several trips over there to help the Haitian people. But it's been told that in parks and backyards, and almost anywhere that groups would gather, and they could hear the people praying. They could hear the people, the Haitian people, crying out even as early as 4 a.m. in the morning, that there was a cry that came out of Haiti there. People singing and praying, and preachers with megaphones and urging the people, exhorting them, and, you know, bringing forth messages like, "Oh Lord, keep me close to you," and "Forgive me, Lord Jesus," and telling the followers not to lose faith. And a comment that I read today was, you know, a woman by the name of Christina Bailey said, "A lot of people who never prayed or believed, now they believe." The Lord amazingly used that event to turn hearts to him, to cause people to seek the face of God in repentance. In the midst of great sorrow, you know, 200,000 people killed, oh my, and so many injured, and great devastation, homes lost, and oh, you can even begin to imagine the heartache there. But yet there were a people that sought the Lord, and if I recall properly, there was an event where they were all together, probably at the plaza there in Port-au-Prince, and I believe it was either the president or the prime minister that led the people in a prayer of repentance. Oh, I praise the Lord. But what does it take? You know, Haiti is known for its voodoo. You know, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, you're most likely involved in voodoo. But here in this land of America, I fear that there's been many things that have been accepted that are occultic, that are witchy, you know, things that are watched in the movies, things that are watched on the screen, things that are read, oh my, objects that people find endearing that are actually occult. Oh, here it is. We are living in those perilous times that the Word of God talks about. And I'll tell you what, there ever was a time to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. I think it's now. Oh yes, we know. We're, you know, there's, you know, this election now coming really fast. Another week, we'll have some results. We'll know, but we have to know our God. We have to have hearts that are right towards God. And if we as a people will cry out to the living God, we know that he can turn things around in spite of things that are abominable. In the sight of God, the things that are, oh, hard to bear. Yet there is a God in heaven who hears the prayers of his people and knows how to move mountains. He knows how to move obstacles. He knows how to change things that seem impossible with men. He knows how to break down strongholds. He knows how to give us hope in these times of perilous days. Oh yes, just as it tells us in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Oh man, I had a telephone call from a woman just yesterday, and you know, she was telling me how her own mother was accusing her of just, you know, actually being a Nazi, and you know, associating herself that church, you know, those people, you know, that ministry that you're associating with, they're Nazis. And you know, this dear sister, you know, all she could do, it was so absurd, it was to laugh. But it was her own mother, you know, coming against her. again, we're living in those times. People no longer seem to know what is right and what is wrong. And despisers of those that are good, oh, so often. Yes, they don't know why we don't run with them. And you know, they can't hardly bear it. So many of them anyway. And they're traitors, they're heady, they're high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, that is so true of these times that we live in. Oh, people seek pleasure with all their heart, it seems like, you know, thinking that it's owed to them. But where is their love for God? Where is their seeking after God? Oh my, you know, don't tell me that you know you're a Christian and you know you don't have it in your heart to follow the Lord, you know, or Sunday church or whatever that service might be. You know, ignore the Word of God and what's recorded in it. And you'd rather seek pleasure more than seek the favor of God. Oh, there's many like that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It tells us from such turn away. I think, you know, it's very descriptive in Titus, the first chapter, and I know Sam used this in his newsletter too, that first chapter in verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. In other words, they no longer know what is right and they no longer know what is wrong. It's all the same to them. Or, you know, they just compare themselves with everybody else. They're reprobate. That's a sad place to be. Yet, professing that they know God. Oh, but those works deny them, you know. And those works follow the believer in Christ. Those good works follow the true children of God. You can't say that you love God and hate your brother. You know, and so it is. But that describes these moments that we live in right now. I think also 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter in verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. How sad. Turning to fables rather unto the Word of God, despising strong doctrine. And that word is not well received. It's not often talked of in the pulpits. Oh, so often, you know, it's just a social religion. It was also said that, you know, this mother said that she didn't go to her Methodist church because of doctrine, but she went there for its social benefits. And so it is. That's the time period that we live in right now. These hardened hearts who despise the Word of God, not enduring sound doctrine. I'll tell you what, it's not always easy to hear what the Word of God says. But it's the only way that we can be saved. It's the only way to be right with God. And so it is. Here we are in that time when evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh, they're in great deception themselves. And they're great fun to deceive everybody else as to the extent that they possibly can. And they're running all over, wild and wicked. But yet here we are in this moment of time. God's put us here for a reason, for this moment, and here we are. But there is need for us to seek the Lord while he yet may be found. and to call upon him while he is yet near. It's time for the wicked to forsake their wicked ways. Yes, and the wicked thoughts and all the things that take them away from the Lord. It's a time when hearts need to be turned to the Lord. It's a time to break up that fallow ground and to seek the Lord like never before. With all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, to put him first above all else, to do the things that really matter. For one day it's going to be over and we're going to stand before that righteous judge. And at that time, it's going to be he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Him that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. It's going to come to a halt, and as you are, so you will be for all eternity. Oh, indeed. It's time to seek the Lord with all our hearts, to call upon him. It's time for us to bend on that knee and cry out to the Lord. I know Pastor used to say that the way that we vote is on our knees, crying out to the Lord. And I'm hoping that come election day that we can have prayer going on here in this building, that we can, you know, kind of drift away, if it's possible, from our normal affairs and seek the Lord with all our hearts and to call upon him while he is near. For I'll tell you what, we are in desperate moments and we need the Lord like never before. But I know one thing. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said he would be with us to the end of the world. And you know, no matter what it is, he knows how to help us. He knows how to change us and how to change our circumstances and how to give us hope. But there is a great need to call upon him, to seek him while he yet may be found. I pray that we will all do that. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we can call upon thee. We can cry out to thee, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you would talk to us, that you would deal with our hearts. Help us, oh Lord, to see, oh Lord, our desperate need for thee, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, for surely there is none good, no, not one, Lord. Oh God, it is certainly time to seek the Lord like never before, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would convict and convince us, Lord. Oh God, that you talk to us. God, take us to that higher ground with you, Lord. Oh God, that our hearts may be made right. Oh God, and that, oh Lord, you might prepare us for that which is ahead, and certainly for thy coming, for that great day, that great and terrible day of the Lord, when you come, Lord, to rain your judgment upon this earth. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us to be found, oh Lord, worthy at that moment, that we'd be found righteous, Lord, with your righteousness, clothed, oh Lord, oh God, with that which you've given us, oh Lord. Oh Lord, for we could not do it of ourselves, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us, Lord, to talk to us, get us to that place that we need to be in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we're going to go to number 41 in the chorus book, Awake, Zion, Awake, number 41. Awake, Zion, awake, awake and trim your lamps. Awake, Zion, awake, awake and trim your lamps. For the stars of heaven shall fall, and the moon shall be turned to blood, and the Son of God shall appear. Zion, awake. Zion, awake, awake and trim your limbs. Awake, Zion, awake, awake and trim your limbs. For the stars of heaven shall fall, and the moon shall be turned into blood, and the Son of God shall appear. Zion, awake. Turned into blood, and the Son of God shall appear. Zion, awake. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
you.